Jones of America, and live from the GMB Show Studio, this is your Ghost Benedict and her show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Demon Hunter!
Ghostman!
What's going on, buddy?
I was gonna, like, pause and not answer just so you'd think I'd forgot to hit the button again.
Yeah, I know. You've done that before. It's not funny. It's spooky.
I think it's fun.
Because I always think I lost you anyway, huh? Hey! Smells like Sunday night, guys, because it is! It's the only night for your Mystifying Oracle of Radio. Huh?
Ah.
And we are back in studio. Big night, Demon Hunter!
It is.
Big night. Thanks for Midnight Syndicate for our opening song, of course. Hey, special thanks to all our sponsors, all our homes, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio Apps. Hey! Are you listening? Check them out. They want to know actionaudioapps.net. And, of course, 102.7 FM, The Hog. Paid the bills. Paid the bills. That's taken
Paid
care of.
Paid the bills.
Paid the bills.
Right off the bat. Bills.
Sometimes I forget.
Speaking of bills, folks, if you didn't listen, a few weeks ago, we were actually on Action Audio Apps. We were on the Coach Mo Show.
Coach Mo Show.
It was a sports show. And they talked a little football with Sean, but we never got to talking about curling with me. So
curling, is that a sport?
Dude.
Is that recognized as a sport? Is it recognized as a sport? I ask a simple question.
It is a sport.
That's un-American.
It's in the Olympics.
Whatever.
Oh, fine. Be that way.
Nobody likes curling.
Every...
No, yeah, comeback.
Fine. No, fine. Be that way.
No, I'm
kidding. You're just upset because we're recording tonight in studio. Well, we're not even recording. We're live. We're recording and we're live. But yeah. And you want to be...
We're recording live.
The Colts-Pats game.
Well, it doesn't start till 8:30, and conveniently, our show ends at 8:30.
Yeah, but you know what starts at 9.
Yeah, I know. So I'm going to get like 30 minutes. I'm going to get to see the Colts put the first 20 points on the board, and then I'll be able to, you know, I'll be able to go back.
Points to the Colts in the first 30 minutes? So you're expecting the Pats to get, what, 30, 35?
I don't know, but we have a amazing early Christmas snow here in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. And I think with it comes the defeat. And this will be Luck's first defeat, because we've only met him once before, maybe twice. The first defeat of the young against old. Tom Brady falls to Luck tonight. I'm saying 24-14 Colts.
24-14 yeah. Colts.
I asked our buddy, the Professor Slim King, to come on and do a prediction tonight. He said, sorry, busy. I said, cool. So, whatevs.
So you're making the prediction.
Yeah, I'm doing the prediction. It's not that hard. I have my Magic Colts helmet here.
I'm not going to give out points out there. I just think that the Pats are going to win it. And at the end, you know, you will hear...
There can be only one.
No, it's a big rivalry, guys. For the, you guys aren't football fans, I don't know what you're doing, but the Indianapolis Colts, of course, and the New England Patriots, everybody knows, is an amazing matchup. It always has been from the
Not
early
because
days.
Because they're particularly great teams, but because Sean's from Indianapolis and I'm from New England.
Well, yeah, that too. But they are amazing teams if you think about it. It's always in the AFC, at least. It's always those two teams. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. And it used to be, of course, you guys don't know, we had Peyton Manning, if you don't know. And, of course, New England's been riding on Tom Brady's coattails forever, Teddy Bruschi, whatever. And you like how I did that? But, so anyway, they came to town tonight. They're here. I'm hoping the Indiana fans, all the friendly Hoosiers, are giving them a nice, warm Hoosier welcome. You know, I'm sure all the girls surrounding their hotel room was nice last night. You know, you think about all these rivalries and all this stuff. Do you think the football players really care? They're still getting paid $30 million or whatever.
Yeah, I think they're laughing at us. I really
Mm-hmm. I do too, but no. Oh well, it's fun. It takes people's mind off stuff for a while, and it's always nice to see the big wins come out. Anyway, good luck to my Indianapolis Colts tonight. Bring home the victory, boys, huh? That's what I'm hoping. Anyway.
No.
You don't think it's going to happen?
No. Well, I think my boys will be bringing home the victory, but not your boys.
Anyway, Demon Hunter, before I forget, let's do tonight's guest. What do you think?
Sure, that would be a good idea, considering we are a talk show.
There you go. Shadow Nation, listeners around the world, you heard the man. Tonight's guest. Tonight's guest from the American Scream, from the Chiller Network, Scary Good. Our buddy Manny Souza stops by. We're going to go behind the scenes and inside the crazy mind of a Halloween man himself. Manny Souza, he's been working on this stuff for years, guys. We're going to find out what got him so intrigued in the Halloween season and why it kept him going through now, thus far in his life. I messed it up tonight. Anyway, guys, tonight, Manny Souza from the American Scream on the Chiller Network. You got those post-Halloween blues? We got the cure tonight, only at the home of the Mystifying Oracle Radio. Your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Manny Souza, man, I'm excited. Remember, we had Victor Barreto.
Yeah, and they were out. The two big names on that show.
Yeah, they were. They were. And then you had Matt Broder and his father, of course. You know, I think what I liked about that show was, like us, they're blue-collar guys. They had some success, and they got their show, and they got to show their passion. You can really feel it through that show, and I think that's why. You remember when I told you when it first came out, man, you got to see the show.
You did. You did.
I did. So what's going on? We got that out of the way. We paid the bills. We
introduced our guest.
Introduced the guest. We are right on schedule. I think this is going to be a bad show because we're never on schedule.
It means something is going to blow up or explode. Are there any hidden Dybbuk boxes, say, in your studio right now, Sean?
No Dybbuk box. But I it's funny, Nathan, because this week, and I can't talk about the show or whatever, and I told you last night, for the first time ever, because usually me and you have played ourselves on television.
Yes.
For the first time ever. I met a gentleman. I guess I can give that away. It's a gentleman that's going to be playing me in an upcoming TV show when I was there representing the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Yeah.
That's very weird. I thought, you know, they would put Tom Cruise in there, but yeah, apparently they didn't. They didn't have Tom. He must have been busy that weekend. But I met him.
He said there was no way he could put on that much weight between now and when they needed him to film.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. The fat joke still. Man, if I was really
husky.
Fat.
It was a husky joke.
Well, yeah. Husky. I can take husky. Husky's okay.
I'm ready for sex.
He's ready for sex. Anyway, Demon Hunter, what's going on in your neck of the woods? We have snow falling in Indianapolis. Beautiful.
Well, it turns out I am on the line. Right on the line where they say everything north of me is going to get snow, everything south of me is going to get rain, yeah. And right where I am, we're not going to know what's going to hit until it hits.
Oh, well, that's nice. Let me tell you a prediction. Let me show you.
Punch you in the mouth.
Yeah, let me tell you a prediction, my friend, for the Connecticut Greater New England winner.
My prediction is everything north of me is going to get snow, everything south of me is going to get rain, and I think my prediction, I'm going to get little or nothing, maybe a little icy mix tonight. That's all I think I'm going to get.
It's going to be cold.
Who are you calling a psycho?
Yeah.
It's going to be a cold, cold night.
It is going to be a cold night. It is going to be a cold night. What is the temperature there? Did you say? I wasn't paying attention.
The temperature here is about 22 degrees tonight, I think.
Okay. So. I think it's wow! It's lower there than here.
Well, I might be mistaken there. It was 22 this morning. Let me pull up the weather dominator here in the studio and see what it has to say. It says that it is currently 37 degrees outside. Sorry about that, folks. Sorry. I never took meteorology in school. What can I say?
See, you suck. Hey, Demon Hunter, in honor of tonight's guest, because everybody, do you have the post-Halloween blues? Because I do. I have the post-Halloween.
I do. I feel like it came and went so fast because I didn't have time to prep for it.
It always does.
And then all of a sudden it was Halloween, and then it was over.
Right. And there is no sex season in between those two. You know, if there was, it would take your mind off of things. Anyway, I was in preparation for tonight's show. I was so excited having our buddy Manny on. I looked up greatest Halloween movies. Movies to watch during the Halloween season. Because, you know, for the winter holidays, you see everybody watching the Scrooges and stuff like that, which I like too. I like them, but you still need, if you're in that Halloween mindset, you still need your Halloween movies, man. Do you agree, Demon Hunter?
I do.
My God, you agree. Look, you know what that is.
It means that really something's going to go bad tonight.
I brought the bell.
We agreed on something.
Yeah, well, I brought the bell. You can't hear?
I hear the bell. I was ignoring it like I always did when you used to use the bell.
Guys, we have had that bell. Tell them, Nathan. Tell them.
Sean has had that bell since we started this show, and I have tried to... Actually, the original bell was a cowbell, wasn't it?
No. It was the bell, like you put on the...
It always that bell? I thought I destroyed that bell.
No, you never destroyed that bell. You're dreaming up stuff now. Yeah.
It's a Horcrux. You can't destroy it.
It's SOS, because half the time our radio show, it never goes out, so I can just...
Yeah, what was to do the whole radio show in Morse code.
Wonder if I had to do it, SOS. Could you understand? Do you know Morse code?
I haven't had to use Morse code in years since I got my old CB license back in the 70s when you had to have a license to go on the CB.
How did I freaking know that you would know SOS? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen of the Shadow Nation, for the 8 years that you followed us, you might have noticed Nathan has done everything.
Now, this is a argument that I have had with other people. I have not done everything.
Well, you haven't been a male prostitute that I know of, but you have done.
No, I have not. Now, a gigolo and a male prostitute are two different things.
That's it. That's it. But you have done a lot of things. You'd have to. Let's see. You ran the funeral home, or I'm sorry, you ran a retort. Is that how you say it? The furnace that burns people up.
I repaired the furnaces.
Repaired. So you had to get inside of them.
Yes.
Hey, I was always asking you, wonder if I worked with you, and I said, what does this switch do?
Huh? You think it's funny, but the first day I worked, that's what somebody did to play a joke on me and locked me in the furnace.
Oh, nice. How beautiful. Anyway, you've done everything, but I guess when you're old, that's a...
No, when you just get bored easy and you tend to go from job to job, that's what kind of happens.
That's it, Nathan. Hey! From our good friends at www.rottentomatoes.com. Check those out, guys, for all your viewing needs. I always go there and find out what's the best movies. Tells you about the new movies out and the TV shows and all that good stuff. And then movie news, of course. But the best horror movies for Halloween of all time. What do you think? You want to hit it?
I don't know if I could guess them all, but I think I could get that several of them. I don't know if I'd get them in order.
Okay, I'm gonna pick out some of my favorite, but number 75. It's gonna be a long show.
We're doing that big a list.
No, let's we got to go through them here. We can't do 75 shows, Nathan.
It would be a whole show to talk about all 75 of them.
Well, absolutely. What do you think number one came in at?
I'd say the number one show for Halloween would be Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
Number one show for Halloween, and you like this one, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Okay.
1920. I can't see a 1920 show being the number one.
Well, I guess this is picks from moviegoers... going for all the classic movies, and I get that. I don't know.
It says, arguably, the first true horror movie, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, set a brilliantly high bar for the genre and remains terrifying nearly a century after it's first stalked the screen.
Dun, dun, dun.
Check it out, guys. Apparently, people like these old ones because it's staying with Nosferatu at number two. Repulsion, 1965, never heard of it.
Don't know that one.
Yeah. A shy young Belgian woman is left alone for a few days in the Kensington flat she shares with her sister, and she begins to withdraw into a dark secret.
Dun, dun, dun.
King Kong, 1933, number four.
Eh.
Yeah, I know, right?
For Halloween.
The Bride of Frankenstein, number five.
I can see that.
I can't.
That's a classic.
No, it's not a classic.
It is.
It's old. Just what is it? Just because you put black and white on something.
No, it's not necessarily. Classic. You put black and white on your face, I don't think you're classic.
Well, yeah, you do. You're hiding it from people. Okay, Demon Hunter, we went through those. It's kind of boring. Number six. What do you think number six is on the...
Halloween.
Psycho.
Okay, I can definitely agree with that. That should have been farther up the list.
I like Psycho. Number seven, I never even heard of. The Night of the Hunter. 1955.
Don't know it.
Number eight. Alien.
Okay.
That's okay.
It's not really Halloween-y, though.
No. Number nine, The Invisible Man.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. What do you mean,
it's not the Chevy Chase one.
What do you mean, Alien's not... It has aliens in it.
But it's not Halloween.
Well, what is it? What season would aliens be?
I don't know. It's more of a Christmas or Easter movie. I don't know.
Alien. Because the eggs are hatching, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Number 10, Frankenstein.
Okay. Sammy Terry said that was his favorite.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
For you guys who don't know Sammy Terry, that was very dear to my heart. It was a late night horror host on WTTV4 here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And he used to come on every Friday night and he would host these movies. And Nathan and I had an epic show with him before he passed away. God rest his soul. A couple years before he passed away. And he said that Frankenstein... Remember what he said, Nathan? What's the secret to a good horror movie?
Letting the horror exist in the viewer's mind.
That's it.
And not on the screen.
Yeah. He said, I forget what he said. He said, Hollywood is under this very confused idea that horror has to be horrible. But he said, the real horror exists in the human mind. That's true.
It's very true. Just look at what the human mind's capable of, and you'll see horror.
See? And then he said, remember when Frankenstein had the little girl down by the lake? He said, what happened? And I said, he threw her in. She drowned. He goes, you never seen that. You never seen that happen, but see what your mind did there? Anyway, number 11, Jaws, 1975 classic. I know you agree with that.
I love Jaws, even though it involves the most evil creature that ever existed, a shark.
I know. That haunts your dreams. Number 12, Rosemary's Baby.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's all right. Number 13, Let the Right One In. That's a 2008. I've never even seen that.
Never saw that.
Have to check it out. All right. Aliens, 1986. Aliens 2, I mean. I don't agree with that. Anyway, guys, that's 15. I'm not going through the whole list, but...
Halloween wasn't in the top first 15?
It was not. Halloween's way back on the list, like number 20 or 21.
And I mean, Night of the Living Dead, nowhere in there.
No. Which is a classic. I mean, that's where Romero's... Oh,
but it's black and white, Sean. You just can't throw a classic on it because it's black and white.
That's true. No, Halloween's not black and white.
What that? The original Night of the Living Dead.
What?
Was black and white. It wasn't filmed in a black and white period, but they filmed it in black and white.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about Halloween.
About Night of the Living Dead.
No, you were talking about...
Hush.
I don't know. Hey, you were talking about, last week we had Tom Matthews on, one of the stars of Friday the 13th, part 3, I think, or part 6, one of the two.
Part 6.
Yeah, part 6. I said part 3 last week, so Tom, he didn't correct me on the show, but... Anyway, I tried to look up Demon Hunter, where they use, what scenes they use the rubber chicken in, and I cannot find anything where they... Now, Carrie, we had Carrie come on, and she
told us a few during the show, like when the girl's running through the woods, one of the branches of the tree is a rubber chicken, and when one of the guys is looking through the glove compartment, he moves a rubber chicken out of the way.
That's true. But have you ever witnessed these rubber chickens with your eyes in Friday the 13th?
I have not.
See? It could be a ploy to get you to... watch Friday 13th again.
Wouldn't that be a good drinking game, though, if you did find the rubber chicken?
You think they still get royalties off of...
I imagine if they signed up for royalties, but I don't know what their contracts were, Sean. And you and I know contracts mean everything in the production agency.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm sure they signed their life away, much like we did. Don't you think?
Oh, probably. Actually, very little. I think I lost several brain cells this week, Sean.
Really? Why'd you do that for?
I went to the doctor, and he injected me with all these different serums that I had for vaccines that I haven't had in a long time. And it left me for about 2.5 days curled up in bed with a high fever, just sweating it all out. I think I killed some brain cells there. I don't think anymore, just in general. I've got no filter anymore. I'm just going to say whatever I want.
And, you just went
by the way, I smell you through the studio, so it's...
Hey, top three ways. We haven't talked about ghosts for a while. Top three ways to contact the dead. What do you think?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, what do you... Top three ways?
We made an entire TV... We did TV specials about what people said would be able to contact the dead, and... I mean, nobody agreed with us, so let's hear what they have to say.
Number three.
Okay.
EVP.
Well, that's just because EVP has become so easy with digital recording that everybody's doing it now.
You can leave it on anytime. If the dead have anything to say, they could talk to you. Number two? What do you think number two is?
Let's go with Ouija board.
Seance.
Close.
But number one.
Ouija.
Which, so they just came out with a new movie. I think our friend that came on the show that talks about Zozo, the demon of the Ouija board, was a... I don't know if he... Did he say he was in that?
I don't know if he said he was in it. I think he worked on the project with him as a research specialist.
Yeah, he could have been that. I don't know. Research specialist. So, I don't know. That's all I got, Demon Hunter. What do you got? That's topics to talk about. We need some topics. Do you have any?
Oh, we're supposed to have topics?
Topics to talk about.
I told you, man, I burned my brain out this week. I don't...
How about the top five drugs you can take at the doctor's office? Would you... what do you think about that?
I told you. I lost time this week. As far as I know, Sean, I was on an alien spaceship this week.
Yeah.
And I just got taken away and came back 3 days later, and I have no clue what happened in between then and now. And
tomorrow.
There's going to be tomorrow? Oh,
I think so. Cool. There will be tomorrow. We'll have to go to work and all that good stuff.
Oh, no.
Anyway, what do you say we go into the news a little early?
We could do that. Sure.
Why all right, not? Guys. Shadow Nation, get ready. Time for the G&D show in the news. It's always fresh. It's always exciting. It's strange and weird. It's straight off the G&D show vault. Straight out of the G&D show vault. And it starts right
now.
I messed that up, didn't I?
You did, but that's okay. I saved it.
Another 8 years, I'll have it down pat. What's the rules, Demon Hunter, about the G&D show news?
Oh, let's see if I can remember those rules. That's right, folks. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show in the news is weird news. Sean and I pick it out of the paper each week. We pick them by the titles and don't get the chance to read them in advance. In fact, that's really true this week since we picked them about 5 minutes ago. And that means we're going to make a lot of mistakes. Each time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's the G&D drinking game. Of course, if you're listening to us on 102.7 The Hog or on your
MP3. Slow.
On your player.
Get excited.
As you're driving, I've already started the game.
Yeah. About an hour ago before the show.
If you're listening to them while you're driving, we recommend that you do not play the G&D drinking game.
No.
Because we are not going to pay the fines or be responsible for the horrible things you do by drinking and driving. But other than that, we ask you to listen along. And every time we make a mistake, please take a drink and please listen responsibly.
First up to bat tonight from the G&D Show Vault, News Vault, singing comet detected by Rosetta is pure science weirdness.
Is that that software that lets you learn languages?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking, but I'm not sure. So, Singing Comet detected by Rosetta is pure science weirdness. There's a new Pink Floyd album out this week, but if you really want to get spacey, the European Space Agency has released a strange song that's coming from the comet 67P Chermov-Garsmenki. Oh, drink, guys.
Have drink. A big drink.
Have a big swoop. I don't speak European. The song was detected, of course that was a joke, the song was detected by magnetometer experiment on Rosetta as it approached the comet and deployed the Philae, drink up guys, to land on its surface. ESA, drink, said the music is oscillations in the magnetic field in the comet's environment. Scientists believe it is produced by the comet as it releases particles into space, which are then electrically charged by ionization. However, ESA said in the news release that the precise physical mechanism behind the oscillations remains a mystery. This is exciting, Demon Hunter, because it is completely new to us. We did not expect this, and
Okay.
Yeah, we did not expect this, and we are still working to understand the physics of what is happening. Rosetta Plasma Consortium principal investigator Carl Heinz Glasmier said in his release Tuesday. Yeah. At 40 to 50 millihertz, Demon Hunter, the song falls outside the range of human hearing, so the agency boosted the frequency by a factor of 10,000 to produce the clip you hear above. And of course, I listened to it, and it just sounds like what you would think. You know. So apparently there's an alien riding on a comet.
Singing. It's that blue lady from Fifth Element.
Ooh, she was smoking hot. She had like 50 tentacles though, right?
Yeah, the tentacles turned me off.
Really? You don't like...
I'm not a tentacle kind of guy.
So it's not just sharks, you don't like anything aquatic.
Well, you know, I've eaten too much sushi. I think something's going to try and come and get me.
Well, maybe she would like that.
Ah! Hey, sure!
Sushi! Sushi.
No.
From the Huffington Post. Yeah. Husband, in the midst of divorce, sends Corvette into the Delaware River.
Oh! That's a man after my own heart. Way to go,
in
buddy.
In Philadelphia, the Associated Press tells us, a man going through a divorce sent the red Corvette his wife drives plunging into the river.
Nice.
Triggering a search for the possible victim inside, police said.
Nice.
Psycho.
Officers were called on Monday afternoon about the car in the Delaware River. A witness told them that a man had driven it to the riverbank, gotten out, and then let the car roll into the river.
Oh.
Police inspector,
drink.
Have a drink, folks. Scott Small said, I guess he was angry with her and drove her vehicle into the Delaware River, Small said.
Small said. So, Small says a lot.
That's a big leap there, Sean. Marine units found a 1990 Corvette in about 30 feet of water.
Oh.
Where it was pitch black.
No way.
And they felt around inside to make sure that it was unoccupied.
Yeah.
Small said that have a drink, folks. They then attached a tow line so the car could be pulled from the river less than 2 hours later. Investigators later determined that a 50-year-old man had gone to the residence of his wife, who was cooperating with the police, and taken the car.
I gotta watch you.
He said the description given by the witnesses matched the husband. I don't know. That sounds shady to me, Sean.
Science,
I think that husband's being set up.
Right.
The man, because Sean and I have both gone through divorces.
Yeah.
The man is being sought, but probably won't face charges because it appears the couple had joint custody of the car.
Oh, wow.
But he said the man may have violated a protection for the abuse and ordered he may have violated a protection from abuse order and is likely to face charges of reckless endangerment.
Out of Pepe!
Yeah. And it wasn't his.
Well, he owned half the car.
Then how did he could legally sink half of it then?
Yeah, her half just came along for the ride.
Right,
but
he couldn't help
to
that.
To get the car, he had to go back to the house, and he wasn't allowed to be within, like, so many feet of the house.
Right.
Well, so, he'll most likely also be charged with illegal dumping, Sean.
Are they really going to do it? Are they going to charge him with the...
I imagine they probably would. Like I said, they can't, like, go after him for... damage the vehicle because he owned part of the vehicle, and it's no different really than crashing the car. So,
right. Well, I would do the same thing.
I don't know. You would.
I would do it. Okay, Demon Hunter. I got the next story. Francis Frankowicz, Jesse's rocket-powered bicycle hits world record of 207 mile per hour.
Really?
Did you like that? I did the title exactly how while the X-Files was playing.
I was more impressed with that.
How would you stay on a bicycle? How would it even stay together at 207 miles per hour?
I guess you would have to have a very special bicycle, Sean.
Can you imagine those little legs? Can you imagine it?
It would have to be pedaled, right, to be a bicycle, so...
Go get out, man.
Right. Anyway. Frankoise Jissies, drink up plenty, guys. Rocket-powered bicycle hits world record at 207 miles per hour. A fearless Frenchman. Yeah, he has broken the record, Demon Hunter, for fastest bicycle zooming along Shadow Nation at a whopping 207 miles per hour thanks to some rocket power. Frankoise...
How do you keep it up?
Hold on. I wasn't even ready. Why are you doing this stuff when I'm not ready? You gotta give me warnings. We gotta go over. We prep for the show beforehand, you know? You could, but if you were going that fast, you have a chance for, you know?
Ah! Nutsack!
Can you imagine if you fell off? The bike from Exotic Thermo Engineering was designed by Gissy's drink up friend Arnold Neracher. Drink up, guys. Gissy told, I can't keep doing this to the people. Drink up. It's Jesse or Gissy. Just fill in the blank. He told Gizmag, this is true, not Gizmo, Gizmag, that it was powered by lightly concentrated hydrogen peroxide. Huh? That's the same stuff you put in wounds and junk like that. The bike was so fast it left a Ferrari F430, which as poor folk wouldn't understand that, can go from 0 to 62 mile per hour in 4 seconds. It left it in the dust, or at least a cloud of rocket smoke. Huh? I don't know. If we can find some serious sponsors, they say, Demon Hunter, then we would like to build a monstrous bicycle, which will be called Spine Crusher. Oh, that's beautiful.
Gissy, yeah, that's a bike I want to get on.
Yeah, Gissy told the Gizmag. The goal would be to accelerate to more than 400 kilometers an hour, 249 miles per hour, in less than 2 seconds.
That would be something. Now they've just... What is the, like, fastest car on Earth right now?
Well, apparently it's the Lamborghini. Or the Ferrari.
No.
The Ferrari F430 got to 0 to 60 in 4 seconds.
Yeah, but...
You don't know.
I know this one. I saw it on Top Gear.
Top Gear or Talk Gear? What'd you say?
Top Gear.
Okay, Top Gear. I don't watch those shows.
You don't?
No,
why
I
not?
Don't.
That is actually a really good car show, Sean.
Really
it's, you got to watch the BBC one, though. Wow. The American one, I'm not... The Venom, the Hennessy Venom at 270 miles per hour online, but I seem to remember it either being the Veyron, the Bugatti Veyron maybe, or I don't know, but the 270 miles an hour, if you're going to shoot for 249,
yeah,
why not, why not shoot for beating the fastest car in the world?
I don't know. I think the bicycle would come to pieces. I don't understand. Unless it's like an alien bicycle forged from steel of Superman's planet. You know what I mean? It would have to be.
Kryptonite? Needs to be like a kryptonite bike?
Right, absolutely. It has to be made from kryptonite.
You are ugly when you're angry.
You know what I mean? Do you got the next story, or what's going on here? What's the holdup?
Oh my gosh, you just keep pushing and pushing. Okay,
I can't continue to make filler here.
From the Huffington Post and our folks over at Associated Press, Idaho teacher kills and skins small rabbit in class.
Release the hounds!
Oh, wow.
You know, Sean, doesn't it make you just feel good that your kids go to school for education, and now you got to worry that the teacher's going to be skinning rabbits in front of them?
Yeah, so he skinned his rabbit. Isn't that a dirty? Can't you use that in...
That might be a bad way to put it. You know, the rabbits will get even eventually.
Can you boy? Yes, awaits you all with nasty big pointy teeth.
I've taught you a second time. Little Monty Python humor.
Boise, Idaho, Associated Press.
Okay.
I said press wrong.
Pest, drink,
okay,
guys.
Already people have to take a drink.
Drink, guys. Drink it up.
Nobody's going to be listening to the guest because they're all going to be too drunk at the end of this show.
Right. Manny's going to love that.
An Idaho biology teacher is facing possible disciplinary action after killing and skinning a rabbit in class to show students where their food comes from.
Right.
Well, actually... You know, that's not so bad. The Napa School District spokeswoman Allison Westfall says the teacher killed the rabbit in front of 16 students by snapping its neck on November 6th at the Columbia High School. Well, okay, maybe snapping its neck was a little bit gratuitous.
I don't know.
But they do need to know that meat just doesn't show up in wrappers in the store. The rabbit was then skinned, cut up in front of the 10th graders. Well, they're 10th graders. They should be able to handle
it. Well, it is hunting season.
Yeah, but when I was in school, first day of hunting season, you got to bring your rifle to school with you.
I'm hunting wabbit. That's
Westfall says... The demonstration isn't part of the biology curriculum.
Right.
Well, okay. She says the students who didn't want to view the lesson were allowed to leave ahead of time. The teacher's name has not been released.
See? That's okay. I mean, apparently, has he been suspended or anything like that?
Apparently, he has been, no, it doesn't say he's been suspended.
Okay.
He's just facing possible disciplinary charges. I mean, personally, like, we had to dissect animals when we were kids. This one just went from being live to dead in front of them.
I mean, but you were homeschooled.
Aha. then after biology class, we made lunch.
See? That's how you did it. Daddy made lunch while you were studying math and pagan rituals, whatever. Demon Hunter, I got the next story.
All right, fine.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Yes, the G&D girl. Chewing on ice better than sex, Demon Hunter. For some. Here we go. That's my story. Thank you for that, by the way. I appreciate it.
Well, let's face facts, Sean. We should actually ask Mrs. Burris about that.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Well, we've been married a year, so there's a lot of ice chewing going on.
Oh, God.
Oh,
Mrs. Burris found the ice.
Yes, absolutely. The G&D show girl. She wants to get involved here. She's involved. This comes from the Newser, Demon Hunter. If you need coffee as a morning pick-me-up, you're not alone. If you need a chomp through a cup of ice, you're also not alone. But there are fewer people like you. Such ice eaters may suffer from... Oh, my God. Drink up, guys. Papaphagia, a compulsive craving for ice. Papaphagio. PH.
Have a frappio.
No, it's not. There's no R. Fagio.
No, PH. But I was just trying to save it before you got us bleeped off of the off of iTunes.
Fagio. We'll say Fagio. Pagofagio. Okay. Anyway, craving for ice. That would be caused by an iron deficiency, the Washington Post reports. In a study published in Medical Hypothesis, researchers asked both healthy and anemic participants to consume either a glass of lukewarm water or a cup of ice before taking 22-minute tests designed to help diagnosis with ADHD. They found that iron deficient subjects who drank the water performed far more sluggishly than healthy subjects, but those who crunched on ice did as well as the controls did. Huh?
Very cool.
You into this? As the Post explains, pagophagia is a type of pica, a disorder. I don't know. P-I-C-A.
I just want to make sure everybody got their drink in.
Pica, drink up, guys. A disorder that makes people crave and eat non-foods like dirt and clay. You have some of that, don't you? Chew on some bag of dirt, which Learning Channel has turned into a reality TV show. Ah! Another one that we have to compete with. This week on Dirt Chewers. Nathan has a bag of dirt and finds a worm. Tune in. See what happens. Anyway, which the Learning Channel has turned into a reality TV show. Study author Melissa Hunt says this cognitive boost may be related to the mammalian driving reflex. Mammalian. Yeah, a trigger that causes blood flow to the brain when a vertebrate is exposed to cold water. At least two hematologists say the study has possible flaws. Having iron deficiency doesn't necessarily mean you have anemia, for example, but at least one admits he can't discount the power ice holds over his patients. I had one patient tell me, "I love ice. It's better than sex," he says. Eating ice is also the newest diet trend. Are you serious? They don't mention sex to the last sentence of the article? You have got to start reading these stories. Oh my God.
They had to get the reader in, Sean.
I don't know. What about maybe there's a ghost behind you, or maybe your brain is just lying?
I'd love to hear about that.
Are you going to read that one or should I?
No, you should read that
one. Oh my God. I just flopped the last story. All right, guys.
Yeah, that's why I want to hear you do this one.
This will be our last story from the G&D Show Vaults. This comes from our friends at the Huffington Post. Weird news. Here we go. Maybe there's a ghost behind you, Demon Hunter. Or maybe your brain is just lying to you.
How is that possible, Sean?
I don't know. There's a scientific reason why you may feel the presence of ghosts, they say. A lot of us have had the sense that there's someone behind us. And yet when we turn, hey, nobody else is in the room. To researchers, that's called a feeling of presence, or FOP. It can happen to anyone, although it particularly afflicts people with Alzheimer's disease and schizophrenia. A team of scientists in Switzerland was able to replicate the FOP in healthy individuals, as explained in a paper published this month in Current Biology. They used a robot that pokes individuals.
Oh, I can see this one coming.
It pokes individuals in the back. In the backs. And
it does.
Yes, but it does. And it manages to trigger the feeling in some test subjects that several other people were in the room, even though there was only the robot.
Mm.
Professor Olaf Blanc. We'll say that because it makes me sound smart. Professor Olaf Blanc and his team at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Lausanne were seeking a better understanding of neurological disorders with their experiment. Drink up, guys. But the results are also intriguing for the many mentally healthy people who believe they have felt the presence of ghosts. See, there are some out there.
Oh, they're all.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know. I was trying to find something to play in the background.
That's beautiful. Blanqui told Huffington Post Weird News that the study indicates that sometimes healthy subjects can experience the same hallucinations as patients suffering from schizophrenia. Hallucinations are quite frequent in the general population, said Blanc, a neurologist and neuroscientist. These data and our... It doesn't say what FOP is. What is it, Demon? Tell me.
FOP?
These data and our hours on FOP suggest that there is no clear-cut differences between health and disease, but rather a quasi-continuous spectrum.
I want to tell you my secret now.
What is it? What is
it? I see dead people.
Oh! The scientists in Switzerland first examined 12 patients who had suffered brain damage from epilepsy, stroke, or other conditions, and who reported having feelings of presence. Brain scans revealed lesions in their frontal cortexes, the area of the brain that is aware of self. Self. Huh? So anyway, they're saying a robot poking you from behind is the same as a ghost sighting. That's what I think.
Well, I will tell you, a few years back, I was visiting a conference, and they had me put on this helmet because they were afraid I'd hurt myself in public. But after that, I put on this other headgear that was designed to help you be absorbed with, what do they call it, infrasound.
I don't know.
Infrasound, which is, you know, sounds lower than the average person can hear. In fact, most people can't hear that. We can only feel it.
Okay.
The animals that still produce infrasound are like tigers and elephants. And they believe that
mice.
Some people feeling it, some people feeling that is those sound, that sound is a warning system that we still had when we were primates, because we were food to these animals, or we might get trampled by them, and this told us to get out of the way fast.
Yeah.
And some people being very susceptible to infrasound can actually be made to feel nervous, can start to feel and hear different things around them when they're exposed to it. When they put the helmet on me, I was sitting on a bench, and I thought for sure somebody came and sat down right next to me.
Oh.
And, you know, when they were all done, they took it off, and they said, you know, did you sense anything? I said, no, the only thing that happened was one of you sat down next to me and leaned up against me. And they looked at me and went, nobody sat down next to you.
They took your helmet off and you said,
I want a piggy fries.
Didn't
I'm
you?
I'm a very good driver.
Kmart underwear. Kmart underwear. Damon Hunter, that was G&D Show in the News, Shadow Nation. Hope you enjoyed it. You know what time it is, though, brother?
I don't, Sean. Please, tell me what time it is.
Well, listen, here we go.
Hi, this is Matt Milk from the Zombie Research Society, and here's your weekly update from the G&D Zombie Alert System. Now back to you, Sean and Nate.
Thanks, Matt!
Thank you, Matt. Hey, Sean, as you know, we roll straight into the Zombie Alert System by warning people that, like I said, I got shot up with some vaccines this week that left me pretty wiped out. I went through high temperatures, sweats, aches and pains, very similar to those kind of symptoms people go through just before they turn into a zombie. Now, I think about it, they shoot two or three vaccines into me, and this happens. It's that time of year where people are getting their pneumonia shots, their flu shots, their, what else are they getting, Sean? They could get their
Ebola
tetanus
shots
and their shingle shots. If they start shooting people up with all this stuff at once and it has this effect on me just for a few days,
penicillin.
Think what it might do if somebody already has a virus in their system.
See?
That these might not be set against but kind of mutate with.
Right.
Right off the bat, we've got another opportunity for zombie attacks. So because of my personal experience this week, Sean, the zombie alert system is staying at guarded.
Guarded! I feel warm and fuzzy. Last three shows, we've been at guarded.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, too, because I've noticed now during The Walking Dead, they give you a chance to determine what the situation is at, and they're using the G&D Zombie Alert System, if you haven't noticed. They took our logo off of it, but they're using our system to determine what's going on there.
Now, there's two ways to look at this, Shadow Nation. One, you can either believe that we are guarded and buy into the propaganda that Nathan is spilling to you. Or two, we're just too lazy to change the zombie advisory system board. You decide!
Well, I sent you all of them.
I know.
Scotty, beat me up.
But you did say that we are guarded. You make a good
guarded case
for it.
Well, guarded doesn't mean, Sean, that we're guarded against anything.
What do you
mean? Guarded means we should be on the guard.
Oh, I thought it meant we're good.
No. We should be on the guard. Something could happen.
Right. Well, why aren't we at low? You know, I don't understand it. We should be at low.
Because I almost died, man.
That's true. But you did not turn into zombies. And
I almost died, and I'm back. So you should worry, because I turned. You're the first one I'm coming for.
You can't get me. I'm the gingerbread man. Remember that story?
Yeah, and I seem to recall he got eaten.
He did. Hey, what was your favorite nursery rhymes when you were growing up? Didn't we cover that?
Well, we covered my least favorite, the one that created the only real fear besides sharks that I have. And that was the Three Billy Goat Gruff.
Giants.
No, trolls. Trolls. I don't fear ghosts. I don't fear demons. I don't fear anything like that. Mm-hmm. I can't handle trolls, man. I don't do trolls. And it's all because of the Three Billy Goats Gruff.
Women with hairy armpits. Aren't you scared of those? Apparently, I heard different nursery rhymes. I don't know. There was a woman with hairy
armpits. Apparently, you did, and I don't want to know what your parents were reading to you out of the 1970s Hustler magazine.
Whatever. 1970s? Oh.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I forgot. You're a youngin'.
75. 75, buddy. Anyway, guys, that's your Zombie Advisory System G&D Show of the Week. You are welcome, world. We've possibly been saving
these people. We're keeping you safe.
Demon Hunter!
Ghost Man.
Shadow Nation. You know what time it is. Yeah. Uh-oh, you hear the music! That's right, guys. We are more than halfway through the new episodes, the new season, Hunt or Be Hunted, The Walking Dead. Of course, you know Nathan and myself and most of the Shadow Nation. That's why we've had a lot of Walking Dead guests on here, or big fans of The Walking Dead. A lot of our friends play on the show, and this week is a G&D original series that we play every week during The Walking Dead season, Rot Talk!
Rot Talk!
Where each week, Nathan and myself make predictions and talk about the last episode and what's going to happen tonight on The Walking Dead.
That's right, folks. That means this show is not spoiler-friendly.
No.
If you don't want to hear what happened last week, hold your hands over your ears and go la, la, la for the next 7 minutes.
7 whole minutes? Oh, you just looked at the clock, didn't you? You said, how much time do we get? We can't fill up predictions in 7 minutes. Manny's going to have to come on early night. That's just all there is to it.
I could also tell you my story about going to see Richard Sherman from the Sherman Brothers, who wrote Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that. I want to hear about it. Well, I do. I want to hear about it. Anyway, Demon Hunter, last week on The Walking Dead, I can't believe it's almost over, first off.
I know. It's insane.
I looked it up, though, and I looked at what a season has in it, episodes for this. The Walking Dead Hunter Be Hunted season, and it says 18 episodes, which is crazy, because we're two away from being at 6. And if they come back, and I think they take a 3-month break, and it'll be another 6, that's 12 episodes, if my math is right. So, not 18, but 6, Demon Hunter.
They did say last week, only 3 more episodes. Till the mid-season.
Said one more. Two more.
Oh, right. I was thinking the week before that. Sorry.
Right. Had to be the week before that, because if it was last week, they'd have said 2 more, and you said 3 more.
Well, excuse me.
Okay, guys, here's where we're at so far in the Hunt or Be Hunted, The Walking Dead this season. Rick and Carl, the group busted up, and we left Rick and Carl with the preachers while Maggie and Glenn ran off with, I keep forgetting his name, Sergeant something, I think. Whatever his name is. And so the team's split up right now. Beth, of course, we found out a couple weeks back, is in the hospital with crazy cops that want some boo-boo. And the guy got his face eaten off by the chick that he got some boo-boo off when she transformed into a zombie boo-boo. Yeah. So, you know, we've seen that episode, Demon Hunter. We've seen Beth being brought back into the hospital when the black gentleman escaped. And we've seen the first one, we're going backwards, where Rick and, or when Michonne heard some things in the bushes and Daryl comes.
Abraham. You're thinking Abraham.
Sergeant Abraham.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it's Sergeant. Yeah, Abraham walked out. Anyway, ADD going to kick in here. So we see Michonne. And we see Daryl come through the bushes. She says, "Where's Carol?" And he gives a weird look, but there is somebody. He says, "Come on out." We don't know who. Then it goes to the hospital. Hospital, we know Beth didn't escape. The black gentleman did. Maybe it's the black gentleman behind the bushes. We don't know what's behind the bushes number two.
We've already lost Bob, right?
Yeah, Bob's gone.
So,
he died early. We left Rick and Carl with the preacher. That something's amiss there still. We killed the meat eaters, the cannibals.
The hunters.
And then the Abraham smashed the scientist's face that we found out wasn't a scientist. Wow, it blew my mind. Did it blow yours?
No, I kind of read the comic.
Yeah, you did read the comic. A lot of people called that, though. They said this guy is too goofy to be a scientist. I think a lot of the team might have known, but they wanted to be led on to believe that he's a scientist. I mean, God sakes, he's your last hope. He said he had a cure for everything, but we found out he was just scared and he wanted Abraham to protect him. Did he die last week?
I don't think Eugene's dead. I don't.
I don't know.
I think Eugene took a lick in there, but I don't think he's dead. I think he's probably knocked out cold and he's going to have a pretty busted up face.
Okay.
But I think Eugene's going to be okay.
Okay, last week, so far we've covered Rick and Carl and the preacher, Maggie and Glenn left with Abraham. Beth's in the hospital. Carol was being pushed in with her. We think it's a trap. We don't know. Last week, Abraham smashes the scientist's face. He falls to the ground, smashes his face again on the concrete. This week, I think we go back to Rick and Carl if we're going to do the roundabout thing. And we're going to start with something with the preacher. Something's going on there. And I think that's where we're going to find out what's going on with the preacher more. What do you think, Nathan?
I think you're right that we're going to probably go back to the Rick and Carl section here. I don't know if we're going to be focusing so much on the preacher. I think we've already discovered his biggest sin. I don't think we're going to discover too much more about him. I think it's going to be a very Daryl heavy episode explaining what happened.
A very Daryl Christmas.
Very Daryl Christmas.
That sounds like he's going to say.
This is my brother Daryl and my other brother Daryl.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll bring us back around to going back to the hospital to save either Beth or Carol or both.
Yeah. We might add, guys, just a reminder, we are in talks with Mr. Reedus, the actor who plays Daryl. We're talking to his agents. We've got an upcoming show with the big man. A lot of the women in the G&D Nation are feeling that in their bones. You know what I'm saying? They're excited. So you got to watch. You got to listen every Sunday to find out when Daryl might be coming on and what's happening this week on The Walking Dead.
Really?
Yeah, that's our prediction tonight. That's what I think is going to happen. I'm excited about it. I always get excited about it. That's why this week we got The Walking Dead, plus the Colts kick off at 8:30. So I get to watch 30 minutes before. What do you think?
I think that, you're going to be very excited to watch the Patriots win.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. We don't know about that. Most likely, this is our year to overcome. I think that's what's going to happen. What do you think?
Sorry, man. I'm just sorry. I don't think you've got much to look forward to.
No, I think you're wrong. Okay, guys, tonight's guest, before we go to break, Manny Souza from The American Scream. He's going to tell us what it's like to live inside the mind of a real-life Halloween man. Get ready, Shadow Nation. When we come back, we'll be with Manny Souza, like I said before, from The American Scream Demon Hunter. You're excited about this one.
I'm always excited about this one.
Right. Though. Tonight's band D3Z. Name of the song, Remove Your Brain. Demon Hunter.
Ghost Band.
Shadow Nation will be right back.
Mental loading zone, stocking musical trucks, deliver sounds to waves, sending echoes to caves, slaves to wishful thinking, all the while just sinking, linking words on lines, on the nerves like spines. Times may change, but the brains won't rearrange. We're bringing life to meaning of home on the range, although the word of the day is everything is okay, cause life's just a part that we're born to play. Come what may, this is where we gotta stay. Each one, just to throw it all away. In the ground you lay when you meet your last day. remembered as a someone that you was able to pay. What a lovely cycle, the system that we keep under the rug, the truth is what we sweep. Visions in our sleep, oh material mountains, dollars a mountain, what the time keeps counting. The promise of now, the way we allow, cause TV and school's gonna tell us how. Wow, not even in the least, we're puzzled like a jigsaw that's missing a piece. Cause when the mission's released, so we can have the gas, opportunity of life, we're down to let it pass. It's all over our heads, we dread stepping out. Rest assured what's occurred is all for the cloud. From the heart, it's where we tear it apart, where we create life, that's how it all starts.
You want me to remove your brain?
Everybody, this is Chad L. Coleman, Tyrese from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to my boys, Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
I am no.
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Please help us welcome tonight, guys, from the Chiller Network, Scary Good, the American Scream, the Halloween Man himself, Mr. Manny Azusa. What's going on, Manny?
Hey, not much, you?
Waiting to talk to you, Big Daddy. Everybody's got post-Halloween blues, and we've been waiting for 2 weeks to get you on. It's really too late. Not too late, but we should have had you 2 weeks ago because people are dying to talk about Halloween, man.
Yeah, well, I still talk about Halloween. It's still up in my yard.
Dude, I was telling Nathan, Manny, and I've been saying it since a couple years back. When I first seen The American Scream, whenever that was, when it first came out, it captured me. I told the wife, I said, you know what? These guys, I watched it like five or six times because we're all blue-collar guys. We don't live in some Hollywood studio, high-rise apartment. We all work for a living, and you got to do something you love to do, and you got to share it with all of us across the country, which is Halloween. And it's your passion and your love for the season really showed, man, you know?
Thanks.
And how did you get started with it? I mean, did you grow up and somebody, you loved Halloween? You said, this is it, man. This is my calling.
No, I liked Halloween. When I was a kid, I always went out trick-or-treating, trying to fill up the bed, the big pillowcase as much as I can get.
Right.
But then I bought a house here in Sleepy Fairhaven. And when we first lived here, first year, it's like, I'm from the city, and this is the suburbs, and in the city, even though I lived on a three-decker, we had tons of kids running around.
Right.
When we got here, I was lucky to get 20 kids.
What?
I'm like, where is all these kids? I mean, the schools are all around me and everything, you know? It's like, I see them running in the streets, but on Halloween, where are these kids? So I used to take my kids walking around the neighborhood, and I end up going by Victor's house, which he was in the American Scream too.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. And they're all at his house. There's haunt going on inside. It's like, I'm the scarecrow that caught my attention that he had made. And it's like, I can do this.
Right.
And the following year, I just started going online and started just searching out anything to do with Halloween. And I was hooked. I got hooked. I started buying a couple of props to put out in front of the yard. And the next thing I know is, instead of having 20 kids, I had 80. It's like, I'm onto something here. The following year got a little bit bigger. Now it's like out of control. And this year alone, we had over 2,000 kids come by here.
Jeez!
And this has been going on now 10 years. But, so I can blame Victor for hooking me up with this. And it's a passion, At first, the family wasn't involved, and then all of a sudden, as my kids got a little bit old, especially my daughter, she scares with the best of them.
Oh, yeah.
She's 13 years old, and I've seen her make grown men cry, and I love it. But, the wife gets into it. We all get into it. Now it's one big party, as you saw in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
We have the silly string fight, which people are still hanging out. I don't even know these people. They hang out in front of my house, and it's like, I look at my wife's like, what's up with this?
Yeah.
And when she brings out the silly string, I mean, we buy cases of it. That's what the people were waiting for, because they probably saw it in the movie. It's fun.
Well, yeah.
I know here at my house, like you were saying, decoration's still up, obviously. Nothing like yours. I live back in the woods, and nobody ever sees my house anyway. When I decorate for myself now.
Yeah.
But the cemetery's still out there. The mantle is still Halloween, even though my wife is decorating for Thanksgiving everywhere else around the house. I'm not letting her have my mantle. I can't give it up that easy.
Yeah. No, I can't give it up either. I mean, this year I put everything together by myself. My wife and kids are the one that put up the corn maze. Yes, I have a corn maze in my yard. It's roughly it has three turns, four turns. If I stretch it out, it's about 100 feet long. But
what was it, Mr. Schroeder's farm? What was his name, Manny? Mr. Schroeder's farm? I forget his name.
The farm?
Yeah, remember the first guy you went to? He said you could have the corn.
Oh, yeah. I went to Mellow's. The one that's in the film is...
He said you could take as much as you want.
Yeah. So far, the last 3 years, it's been like that from different farmers. But that first one, that was from the Mellow's.
Yeah.
The second one was another corn farm, corn for the cows.
Right.
That was, I know I'm going to say Bridge Street, but you guys don't know where it is. It's in the other part of town. And this year, I got him from a guy down by the water. He has like about 400 acres of corn. And
Ooh.
I got a trailer that looks like a coffin. and I just fill that sucker right up.
Now, you guys, like you said, the whole family gets into it. You start working at a lot of Shadow Nation, Manny and myself are friends on Facebook. I had to get a hold of him. I had to follow this guy because I'm so interested in what he does. And I love the fact that you're so into Halloween. I seen this year you, I mean, when did you get started? When do you usually get started for Halloween? I know you still got the haunted house up.
I started probably, I like to get started after Labor Day. And I like to be done and ready to rock for Columbus Day weekend. That didn't happen this year. I was like a week and a half late, so I only opened up for a week. But basically, it's because I started. I had a bunch of wood that somebody dropped off, so I had to core and split all that get it out of my way. I had my pool to take down. I put my pool up for the summer for the kids, and then it comes down right after Labor Day, so I can get my cemetery in there. But I started it out late. I did everything all by myself, like, except for the corn maze, and it was like every day after work and the weekends, 12 hours a day on the weekends, and I finally got it opened, but it's still standing as we speak.
Yeah, I seen that.
The only thing that's in the house right now inside my house looks like Halloween threw up all over the place.
You can't bear to take it down.
Electronics and everything inside the house. The only thing out here, and my latex stuff's in the house. But the only thing standing right now is the buildings, the mazes, the tunnels, my cemetery, all the stones and everything is still out. But I got to start every time I go to take it down, it rains, and I don't like putting stuff away wet, so I just leave it until it dries. But then again, it rains again, so Mother Nature and Old Man Winter is just like real too quick this year, you know?
Oh, yeah, back to back. You know, the reason you don't want to take it down, you can't stand to put it away. You got to
have it. Oh, if I had it my way and I didn't have parties and everything during the summer, it'd be up all year. I would have to go over and get corn somewhere else.
Yeah, the squirrels would carry it away, man.
Yeah, it's hard to put it away, and especially the pack, what I got, it's crazy. I look at it, it's like I always, every, last 2 years, too much. I got too much. I'm cutting down, and I end up adding more. And it's like, how did I do this, you know?
What do you do on Halloween night, like this year here in Indiana? We had in Indianapolis, we had a bad, I mean, it was flurries out, and the wind was howling. I had my fog machine out front. I had the skeletons and everything. I got like 10 kids in my neighborhood, much like what you were when you started out. I mean, how do you cope running something like this when the bad weather hits?
Just got to deal with it. It is what it is. I mean, you can't fight Mother Nature. The only thing I pray that don't happen, is that happens to a lot of my haunted family or friends, is that either pouring rain or it's snowing. You would have to shut down. There is no way that I... The extension cords I got running through my yard, There is no way I'm plugging it in. You know,
Have you ever been in the middle of like getting ready to set up and all of a sudden you're like, oh no, and it starts to rain and you got to like undo everything?
Well, actually, was that Storm Sandy hit New Jersey coast? She hit us too. And that was just a couple of days before Halloween. And it took me four weeks to put everything together with help.
Oh, man.
It took Mother Nature one day to take it down. And I mean, she took it down.
Oh,
I had tents that so you can understand where I live, my yard is 90 feet by 140. The tent that was 140 feet away was 140 feet the other way.
Oh!
That's including all the wallpaper that was inside of it.
Oh, no.
The lights that were hanging in it. My mausoleum, I patched it up. My old one, I made a new one this year.
Yeah.
My old one, I patched up because it was like a tumbleweed, and it rolled for about 45 feet, crushing my tombstones.
Oh.
It was nasty here. I could not, I mean, when I came outside the next day, I looked around, I says, I'm going to patch this corner up. This is what they're going to see, and I'm going to hand out the candy from here. And that is it. My wife, no. We got to do this. A lot of people are counting on me. It's like, oh, God, you know, put a guilt trip on me. All right, let's go. And luckily, I was on vacation, so I didn't have to go to work.
Right.
So we were up at 7 o'clock in the morning. We didn't come back. We didn't go back in the house till like 10 o'clock at night. And we did that 2 days in a row, and I got the haunt running that night.
Right.
For Halloween.
Now, everybody, we're talking to Manny Souza from the American Screen that was on the Chiller Network. And I just want to ask, Manny, how many people that you didn't know just came out of the woodwork when this thing premiered and said, hey, I want to be a part of it, or coming by your house looking or whatever?
actually, the night, that Halloween that they were filming is when everybody started coming out of the woodwork. because, I mean, we filmed, 30 days prior, and they filmed on Halloween night.
Wow.
But in order for the people to come in my yard, because I had cameras and the producers were here and the film crew and everything, I had to put a sign in the front of my house saying if they didn't want to be on a camera and that, they shouldn't come in here.
Right.
Okay. That was cool. The worst part about it was a local newspaper from New Bedford, which is the city over, ran a front page story about Halloween, and there's three families in Fairhaven who are having their haunts filmed. How they got it, I don't know, because I didn't talk to anybody. And how I found that out was that I was sent out in the front of the yard, just making sure everything was working, and a guy pulled up, and I have a pot that I made, a cauldron, for everything I collect from my haunt goes to American Cancer Society.
Yeah.
So the guy pulls up and says, hey, where's the pot? And I'm looking at him. I says, the pot for what? He says, for the donations. I says, oh, that ain't until tonight. It'll be out here. He says, oh, that's not what the paper says. And I looked at him, the what? He goes, the paper. I says, what paper? Because if it was like the Wanderer, which is a local small-time paper, okay, neighborhood news, no big deal. Just the people in Fairhaven see that. They already know about me, so I'm not worried. And I asked him, I says, what paper? And he turns around and says, oh, the Standard Times. Oh, my God, I'm going to need more candy. And exactly that's what happened. That night alone was over 2,500 people. And
oh, my gosh.
It looked like a con, and they didn't come in. One at, they didn't come, then it slowed down. It was like all of a sudden between 7 o'clock at night until like 11 o'clock at night, it was nonstop. It looked like a concert let out in my front yard. And I had people wall to wall in the driveway, and I'm looking around. And I'm just like, oh, my God, the cops are going to show up. What the hell is going to happen? I was freaking out. And it's like people that came here, they don't really appreciate. Let me rephrase that. People who come here love it because they know what I do.
Right.
These people probably never saw anything like this before in their life. Had no clue what was going on. It clear says, do not touch. I had so much stuff broken that night, it was pathetic. Because, the mothers are just standing there and little Johnny's pouncing on my doors, which is run by a wiper motor that's trying to scare them. It don't work no more because little Johnny stepped on it while it was coming up. It's like, oh, gee, thanks. And I, sorry, kid, you need to leave, And it's like, I've never, ever kicked anybody out of here, but these people had to go. But, yeah, that was insane. So, yeah, the first night when the fulcrum was here. Then after that, it's like, it's been constant. Every Halloween, there's people hanging around that I don't really know. I mean, I've had people, I stand out there, and my thing was, if you saw in the movie, I just stand out front. I let my wife and everybody else run the show in the backyard. If there's a problem, then I go back there. And there's people standing around. It's like, who are these people, you know? And people go in, they come out, oh, man, that was great. And I'm like, oh, thank you, thank you. Who is that? How does he know my name? Oh, wait a minute, stupid movie.
It's an honor, though.
Yeah, it feels good. I mean, after a year of the movie came out, because I did have a premiere here in Fave, and I got the producers and director to show up, and we rented out the local junior high school, and we invited everybody from town to come and see it. And I work for the town of Fairhaven, so I get to see everybody all over town. And I, oh, yeah, man, that was great, this and that. And it's like, okay, I know you where you live, but I don't even know you. Oh, okay, the movie, all right, yeah, you like that, okay.
Lot of fans.
I just had somebody, I went to the store, and I was checking out. I was buying batteries for Halloween night, and guy goes, he's looking at me, and I'm looking up. And I'm standing in line. He was in the other line. And he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And it's like, okay. And I turn around. It's like, is he looking at somebody else? And he says, I know you. Who, me? Yeah, you. I know you. You're that guy in the movie. All of a sudden, everybody's heads turn and look at me. It's like, uh-oh. Yep, thank you. Can I check out now, please?
Handful of groceries.
See, usually when somebody walks up to Sean and I and says, I know you, we look for a place to hide fast because something, there's usually going to be a weapon drawn.
Yeah. A lady that says, keep walking. Yeah.
A lawsuit that's going to be a summons that's going to be handed to us.
Yeah. Anyway, Manny, tell us the story real quick. Director Michael Stevenson did The American Scream. It was his idea. I think it was his idea. What happened? I mean, from the start to the finish, how did they find you? How was that whole deal?
All right. A year before they started filming, there was a thing on the web saying if you want to see a haunt on TV, this and that. Magic Stone Productions was looking for a family, so I kind of like put my name in it, and I just put the word out on my web pages, like Faces of Halloween and Haunt Forum and Halloween Forum and everything. I just threw it out there for everybody to do it, you know. And I knew I didn't have a chance. I mean, I was small time, and they just started going around to everybody. They went to a lot of my friends in New Jersey and down the Cape and up north in Massachusetts. And by chance, they saw a picture of Victor's daughter, Catherine, near a spider. And they said, we got to go check these people out. So they went by Victor's house, and Victor was picked to be in the movie. He says, yeah, you know, they weren't even going to come in our neighborhood. They were just looking randomly around. And just by chance, because of that picture, they happened to go by Victor's. Yeah. So they started talking. They were checking out Victor's house and all the stuff that he was making, getting ready for the season. And all of a sudden, I was in my yard, and my gates are closed, and I was just throwing stuff all over my yard, figure out what I'm going to do for the season. And I heard Victor, hey, man, are you back there? I said, yeah. All of a sudden, here comes Victor with like four or five different people. It was Michael. It was Zach, one of the producers. It was Jesse, my film guy. Katie, another camera. All handful. And Brad, he was taking pictures and stuff. And they just started talking to me and stuff like that, and they're looking around, they're like freaking out because I got props hanging all over the place, and they liked what they see, and they says, oh, this is cool, we got two people that, you know, I think this is it, and it'd be nice to be and get another one. And I says, well, there's always the Brodus, which is right down the street from us. I mean, I live two blocks from Victor. I can walk to his house right around the corner. The Brodus live probably about six blocks away from us, so it's close. So Michael, I brought him over, and they were interested, and it was just like history from there. I mean, they didn't have to try that because they needed Chilla. Supposedly, the way it goes, Chilla wanted at least three families from New England because supposedly New England is the scariest place.
Yeah,
it's all started, you know, because of Salem and all that.
Yeah.
So they asked Chilla, "Hey, we got three families in one town. It's going to save you a ton of money."
Oh yeah,
the hotels and everything, you know. Chilla said, "Do it." And it was all just pure luck, really. I mean, everyone says they like my haunt, and, you know, I like it, too. I know it is what it is. But there's haunts out there that, unbelievable, you know. And it's like, I was honored to be picked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even though it was pure luck, I was still honored to be picked.
Now, Manny, you've obviously put a lot of money into this. Sandy probably took a lot of that out of it. Had to be some reinvestment there for you. And like you say, everything you make is donated, you know, back out. You know, has it been at any time, like, financially, like, a heartache on you to keep this going?
No.
No?
No, not at all. Financially, I dumpster dive guy. I buy practically nothing.
You can tell.
I mean, everything I get so far, I mean, if you, on some of my pictures on my page, on if anybody wants to go to Old Oxford Haunt on Facebook and look at the pictures, I have a pirate scene. And then you look at it, and people, like, freak out on it, and it only cost me $6 to build that. And that's in paint.
The thrifty Halloween guy.
You know, I mean, you know, some of the people say I'm the king of the dumb stuff, you know, which is good, because if it's free, it's for me.
That's it. That's your bumper sticker.
You know, I scrap, you know, I find stuff that I could use. I got a bunch of 8-foot length stockade fence I used this year. I got that all free. Somebody was throwing it out. I looked, hey, do you mind if I grab this? No, go right ahead. Thank you. Now that Halloween's done, I'll burn it in my wood stove.
You were saying before that, you know, they contacted your friends in New Jersey, on the Cape, up in Maine, and you say your friends. Is there like a community of haunters that you're a part of that just communicate and share ideas? And
oh yeah, there's websites out there: hauntforum.com, halloweenforum.com, Garage of Evil. They're out of Providence. They're all over the place. You know, there's make and takes for all kind of states. I belong to Mass Make and Take. There's New Jersey Devils Make and Take. They're all over the place. It's more than a community. It's more like a family. You know, I know what's going on with so-and-so, like the Davis's Graveyard out in Oregon. I know what they're going through. Let's see what else is going on. I mean, there's so much. Most of my friends on Facebook, they're all haunters.
Oh, yeah.
Except for our true family. But other than that, they're a haunter somewhere in the United States, even the United Kingdom. You know, I have friends from all over the place.
Now, hey, Manny, I know we got to wrap up here real quick soon, but your kids are getting older. You got this thing going on. It's really brought your family together. And like Victor was saying in the movie, you know, Halloween is a time for community. You know, people you never see or might never see again. They come out, they're having a good time. And I know I seen it in your face with the kids coming out. You loved it. And the kids were driving down the street going, "Thanks, Manny." And, you know, they should, because you put so much hard work into this. I know, remember the little kid comes by every day and looks at the goblin. You know.
And it's still up, and he still comes by. Oh, he's 9 years old now.
He loves it. But the kids, when they move away and all that stuff, are you going to keep this going for the community?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
If I can do it physically.
I think it's amazing, man.
I would do it, you know. I don't think, if they do move away, I think they'd come back for Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they'll be here for Christmas, but they'll be here for Halloween.
That's the place
Happy
to be.
Happy Halloween, Dad. Here's your Christmas present early. We won't be.
Yeah.
What's your favorite scary movie, Manny, that gets you in the mood for Halloween?
Trick or Treat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's an instant classic. I love it, man, because it captures the blowing leaves down the old streets and all that. It gets me in the mood every year. A lot of people would say Halloween, stuff like that, but Trick or Treat, man, just bypassed all that. They said they're working on a part.
Yeah, Halloween, the first one, yeah, okay. You know, I think, this is me, but if somebody's going to do a movie, you do it once and you leave it alone.
Like Jaws and The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah, come on. You did the first one, leave it alone.
Leave it.
You know?
Yeah, that's it. Now, with Victor being gone, I mean, Victor having the professional haunt now, his dream came true, you know, and he's had that up. I think this is his second year or third year now?
This was his third year.
Yeah, third year. So that's rolling.
And it looks awesome, let me tell you.
Yeah, I imagine you get the good seats to that every year.
Oh, yeah.
Front
yeah,
row,
the
baby.
The fun part about going through Vic's haunt is that all his actors know who I am.
Oh, so
except for one guy. And he tries scare me, and Victor's looking at him. And the guy, he looked at the guy, and he looked at him and says, don't even try.
It's the Halloween man, baby.
He's looking at him, he says, trust me, don't even try. And Victor's got the movie poster hanging up, and he just, like, looked over, and the guy looked up at the post, and he looked at him, and he says, no wonder. And he walked away.
Oh, yeah. Now, have you thought about maybe taking yours that route? At any point?
Oh, no.
No.
No, that I'm learning by Victor's mistakes.
Yeah.
That's something Victor really wanted to do, and more power to him.
Right.
But I am doing this because it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
When it stops being fun, then, and it becomes a headache like a job, then what's the point?
We have people
unless that's something. Unless that's something that you want to do, then go for it. But in my case, I'll keep it fun.
Yeah. We ask people all the time, or people ask us all the time, how to start a podcast or a radio show, and we look at them and go, why? Because we're like, if you're not going to do it just because you love it completely, it's going to die real fast.
That's it.
You dedicate all your time to it, and I mean, Sean and I are working on it all week long. We give up every Sunday night to be here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people sit there and go, oh, you know, I just don't want to this week. And once you walk away from it one week, it's gone. You know?
Yeah.
Right. But Manny, I got to say, we got to close out the show, brother. And we love you. But stay on the line one second. And I just want to get one last thing out of you. Now, being a Massachusetts man, we talked earlier. You know my Indianapolis Colts are taking on the New England Patriots tonight. And I just want you to tell the world what you think about the Pats.
Suck. I'm going to take it by 10.
That's it, baby. Luck is in the house tonight. You heard it from the original Halloween man, Manny Sosa.
Hey, can we get your website, Manny, so people can check you out and find you? So now that you've been on film, and now the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, next year you'll have 3,000 people at your door.
Well, yeah.
All right. Not really a website. Everything's on Facebook. It's O-L-E Oxford Haunt on Facebook. Catch it there. If you guys are any familiar with Faces of Halloween on Facebook, I run that page. I'm also administrator on Haunters Connection. So, you know, you can get me there.
Nice.
Check out Manny, and if you're in his area or you travel to see these kind of home haunts, because Sean, I got to tell you, I took Chrissy on like the first year, took her out to see some of them, and she just loved it. But she wouldn't do the walkthrough ones. She would only do ones that people had hay rides because she wanted to feel like up off the ground away from the spooky stuff.
Yeah.
But it's fun, folks. It's a way to really, and if you're a young guy with a young girl, very few things get them to like get closer to you than walking them through a haunted house.
And Manny, hats off to you, brother, for doing what you do. We love you. You know, you're such a great guy. You do this thing. You keep this tradition alive, and you give the money to American Cancer Society. In my book, brother, you're top shelf.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
thank
brother.
You, Manny.
Stay on the line 1 second. Demon Hunter, what do you say we pay some bills?
Oh, I'm pulling the wallet out right now.
Okay, let's pay these bills. Somebody's got to. Hey, special thanks to all our homes, all our carriers, 102.7 FM, The Hog, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, and Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know. Check them out at actionaudioapps.net. Creative Commons, Midnight Syndicate. Thanks for the tunes. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America, because you know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys. Pats suck. Go Colts!